Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is John Sullivan, who is the former New York State Democratic chairman. And John is here to share his thoughts on the candidacy of Cynthia Nixon. So Cynthia has been in the spotlight for a couple of weeks now. Overall, John, what's your feeling about her?
Well, first of all, good morning, Cynthia. It's good to talk with Cynthia Pooler, who knows an awful lot about politics in New York State and has been studying it for years and years and years. I guess my take on Cynthia Nixon is that she is a novice. She is a newcomer. She seems to be very well acquainted with educational policy. Beyond that, and beyond her celebrity, I don't see any there. And it seems to me that running for governor being governor of a state is a serious job. The bigger the state, the tougher the task. It requires tenacity, toughness, breadth of knowledge, and ability to multitask, experience the machinery of government, and one might also add vision. Did I say tough? You know, it's not a job for beginners. And there are a few exceptions for some people who stepped out of the show business arena and, you know, landed a job as governor. I think of Ronald Reagan in California being one. Mm-hmm. Usually when you seek to run for governor, it's not your first rodeo. So my concern with Cynthia Nixon is that this is her first rodeo. And as well-intentioned as she may be, I think she's got a lot to learn about the state before she really is entitled to serious consideration. In fact, I have an op-ed piece in today's Syracuse.com, which basically makes that point.
I'm going to put you on the hot seat a little bit, John, because I know you were the co-state chairperson. From my observations, whether I look at what's going on in the city of Albany, what went on when I lived in Saratoga County, there's not an effort for party building. So when there's no effort for party building, the people who are in leadership positions latch on to anyone who has some name recognition, maybe a little money, and ultimately it will fail.
Go ahead.
I believe that politics will change when the parties, even though a lot of people don't like parties, will be able to identify and groom candidates to run for office. Until then, if it's done willy-nilly, if it's done with somebody who has a lot of money, who could raise a lot of money, that's not really beneficial to the people.
Well, I could not agree with you more, Cynthia. I think you and I probably are what they'd call old school in that regard. One of the key things that we tried to do during my co-chairmanship of the State Democratic Party with Judith Hope is to do just that, to build the party to seek out talented individuals to seek public office on the local level, to groom them for higher office. And it's like the old chairs through the Elks syndrome. You know, there's some merit to that. I think it was Sam Rayburn, who was Speaker of the House back in the 60s, who said when John F. Kennedy came in with all of the best and brightest in the Harvard elites and so forth, he said, you know, it may be the best and brightest, but for my money, I just assume one or two of them had run for sheriff at one point in their life. And I think there's some wisdom to that. You know, and to your other point, where it becomes hail the leader, where it becomes a cult of personality, as opposed to a broad breadth organizational common effort, I think we get in trouble. And that's why I've become a firm believer in term limits. I think if you can't accomplish what you want to do in 8 years, then you probably should exit stage left. 8 years is probably long enough for anyone, because the longer you are there, the more it becomes, you become insular and you become more interested in your agenda necessarily than in the agenda of the people. Now, that's not 100% across the board. I mean, I do think, for all of his faults, that Andrew Cuomo is well-intentioned. I just think he gets off on tangents here and there, and there's nobody pushing him back in to say, Governor, hold on. Let's take a serious look at the entire tax picture in New York State, and let's say, how can we make it better? Instead, what we get are these flashes in the pan, these kind of St. Elmo's fire approach to economic development. The Startup New York program is an example. Maybe not a bad idea, but not the be-all and end-all. The proof is in the pudding, and here we have a building in Syracuse, a film hub that's spent, the state spent our tax dollars building it, that's empty. The Buffalo Billion project wound up mired in not only mediocrity at this point, but in corruption. And so instead of taking these press releasey kinds of initiatives, if we took a look and say, let's say one thing, taking over the state share of Medicaid costs for localities, what would that do? You know, Cynthia, in Erie County, the total local real property county real property tax levy is, I think, 90%, or it might even be higher than that now, of what they send to Albany for Medicaid. Well, that's crazy. What can Erie County then do to build its roads and, you know, fix its sewage disposal plants and so forth? Mm-hmm. We're out of whack. And tinkering at the edges with flash in the pan schemes is not going to do it. You know, I was in visiting a friend out in the Midwest recently, and I got in conversation with a retired teacher from Kansas. And he said to me, boy, that New York State seems to be going great guns. He said, I've seen the ads about how the whole upstate is being transformed. And I said, well, yes, it's being transformed by laudatory commercials, but the reality is far from the vision that you're seeing on TV. And he was quite surprised. He thought, you know, it's the one thing that the Economic Development Department does is they do good commercials. I mean, you would think, my God, they're rebuilding the airports all over the place. All of upstate has undergone this great renaissance. And we know, Cynthia, that the reality is far from that. So I think there's a tendency to concentrate on the flashy and forget about the nuts and bolts of things. Let me give you one more example. New York State is advertising itself as a business-friendly place. You know, come locate your business in New York State. You know, I'm an attorney, and I still do some legal work, and I represent clients from time to time. And just recently, I represented a client who is filing for a New York State liquor license. Do you know the complexity with which you are confronted when you try to apply for a liquor license? You can't even talk to a person in the agency. You get routed to a call center first. And there's no way you can get through to someone who would be in charge of reviewing the application. We sent the application in. We had to wait 2 weeks for a serial number because they said it had to be processed. So, I mean, they've cut the staff. They've reduced the ability to quickly and efficiently process applications for people to open businesses in New York, and yet they are touting our great metamorphosis as a good place to do business. That is hocus pocus at its worst.
Let's go back 4 years when Shepherd teacher came out of the woodwork. Not mm-hmm. many people had heard of her. And mm-hmm. there she was, jumping out of this nice cake, and she was like, I'm going to run against Andrew Cuomo and stuff like that. Well, she did pretty well. But she,
yes,
but she obviously lost. Fast forward
had
4 years.
Had she won, where would we be? Because she then would have been superimposed on the operation of the state government with which she was, you know, barely conversant. That's my point. Yes, I frankly met her. I thought she was quite pleasant and very, very. She's a professor, but she's not somebody who should have been first blush a candidate for governor of the state of New York.
Uh-huh.
Let her run for the state assembly. Let her run for the Senate. Let her run. I guess
uh-huh.
she's running for Congress now. You know, she's evidently. I mean, she appears to be a good candidate, but you don't start at the top.
She did.
You just don't start at the top.
She did run. She did run for Congress.
Okay.
And John Faso won the seat.
Well, I think that a second run might be in order here because I think Faso's hold on the office is pretty tenuous, especially given his national party's preoccupation with the Trump phenomenon.
So looking at Zephyr Teachout in 04, no, I'm sorry, 14, and Cynthia Nixon today in 18.
Mm-hmm.
If you could stand Cynthia Nixon and Zephyr Teachout shoulder to shoulder and make a decision on who comes across as the better candidate, what
would
your reaction
be? My answer to that is two words, Stephanie Miner.
Wow.
Stephanie Miner. She is experienced. She was the mayor of a major upstate city. She understands policy. I think she's as honest as the day is long. She's tough. She would be superbly qualified. Name recognition. She was never on a star on Sex and the City. She's not from
mm-hmm.
New York City, as Zephyr Teachout pretended at least to be. I think she was really originally from Vermont. So, you know, without the benefit of celebrity, you know, when you're running against an entrenched incumbent like the governor, it is tough, but not impossible, particularly if you have the requisite bona fides. I would say Stephanie Miner has the requisite bona fides. And in fact, in my op-ed piece today, I'm saying Cynthia Nixon would be well advised if Stephanie Miner announces to put aside her candidacy and turn around and jump on Stephanie's bandwagon. But we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Now, has there been any talk of former Mayor Miner jumping into the race?
Yes, quite a bit.
Oh, still?
I personally think it's probably less than 50-50, but she, at this point,
okay.
She has not said no. She hasn't said no.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay, let's go back to 2000.
Okay, I was around in 2000. I
right.
remember.
When I'm sorry if I'm coughing. I'm getting over the flu,
okay.
So you have to excuse it. In 2000, when Hillary Clinton, who was still first lady,
mm-hmm.
wanted to run for Moynihan's seat in New York. And
yep.
She approached you, correct?
She did.
And,
in fact,
and,
I tell the story in my book.
Go ahead.
I assume you're going to ask me about my conversation with her. I said to her, Mrs.
Yep.
Clinton, you know, I have great respect for you and for your husband and the job you've done, but really, you know, you are from Chicago by way of Arkansas, by way of Washington. What do you know about upstate New York? And then I
right.
paused for a moment. I looked at her and I said, Okay, let me put it this way. Mrs. Clinton, when you can tell me the difference between Oswego, Owego, Otsego, and Otigo, and I probably should have thrown in Oswegatchie, then run. And she kind of looked and smiled and nodded. And then I saw her 6 months later, after she had done an extensive statewide listening tour and studied up on all of the vast constituencies throughout the whole state. I saw her in Watertown. She kind of motioned me to come over, and she said, John, just wanted to let you know that Oswego's in Oswego County, Owego's in Tioga County, Otsego is in Otsego County, and Otigo is in Otsego County. And I said, Mr. Clinton, you go. She ran, she won, and as they say, the rest is history.
So
it would do Cynthia Nixon well to get off her high horse, mount a lower horse, get upstate, and get to know people. Do a listening tour. Go to every city. Go to several towns. Talk to town supervisors. Talk to county legislators. Talk to average citizens. Talk to community advocacy groups. You know, there's almost 2 months until the convention. She has time to do some of those things. Up until now, she's done none of them. And I was reading some article one of her spokespersons said, oh, she understands upstate New York. She spent a weekend at a spa in Skinny Atlas. You know,
wonderful.
Come on. I'm sorry, but that is not the bona fides of a statewide candidacy.
From what you've read, and from what I've read, you know, in headlines and what I see, the news clips, how prepared do you think Cynthia Nixon is for a possible win against Cuomo?
Well, as I said, New York has New York's machinery of government is, I'll liken it to a creaky old windmill. It needs to be challenged. The question is, who mounts up and comes forward with their lance to challenge that creaky windmill? I simply don't think that at this juncture, Cynthia Nixon has evidenced the qualifications and the bona fides to do that. Stephanie Miner, on the other hand, I would say she has. Andrew Cuomo, you know, for all of his faults, and he has many of them, is tough. But he also is knowledgeable. He also has great familiarity with the state. He has taken stances on issues which have greatly helped upstate. He has also done a number of things that really haven't helped, but I think he was well-intentioned. But he just gets off on too many tangents at times. And again, the longer one is in office, the more insular you become. And I think we've seen that. You know, Albany shouldn't be a place to go and hide. Albany should be a place to go and speak to the constituents of the state, frequently
right.
discuss the issues with the state press corps and so forth. And that has increasingly become rare. It got to the point where we had to have a reporter arrested for the governor to actually come out and do a little press scrum with the Albany press corps. You know, it wasn't that way when his father was governor. It wasn't that way when he was first governor. It wasn't that way when Elliot Spitzer was governor, or David Patterson, or George Pataki. You know, the press has a right to ask questions. You have a responsibility to answer. And I think you have to be available. And the more insular you become, the less open your government is. And unfortunately for Andrew, his slide down the ethical hill began when he disbanded the Moreland Commission. And things kind of went to hell in a handbasket after that. That doesn't mean he can't resurrect himself. But it's more like he talks the talk, but he doesn't walk the walk. So I think there's a number of things he can do to regain credibility, but there are a number of things his critics can do to rightfully question and hold him accountable. I just don't know that Cynthia Nixon is the person to do that.
She was talked about for quite a while before she jumped into the race, and the contention was, oh, she's got a lot of Hollywood money behind her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, money is not going to do it. There's so much more to it. So what do you say to those people who are gleefully supporting Cynthia Nixon when ultimately all she has is maybe amassing a war chest, maybe not comparable, but close to Andrew Cuomo? In other words, she might not be knowledgeable about all the issues and the intricacy of politics in New York State, but a lot of people are, you know, in her cheering section. What do you say to that?
Well, I understand why a lot of people would like to give Andrew Cuomo a black eye. He already has one with the conviction of his right-hand man, Joe Prococo. So maybe we need to have a black and blue governor who learns from the failure of some of his ventures. But from the standpoint of the hegemony of the Democratic Party's agenda in New York, I think if you only beat up on the governor and offer no serious alternative, and if all you're going to wind up doing is empowering the opposition, and we all know that the opposition is now a party that's been taken over by an uber bully, Donald Trump. So I doubt Cynthia Nixon wants to help elect a Republican as governor. So my suggestion to her is, in the event Stephanie Miner puts her hat in the ring, jump on board. In default of that, then she'd better get on her low horse and get a gomping, as the old saying goes, and get around the state and get to know the issues, get to know the people. I think she has the intellectual wherewithal to do so. I assume she has the determination, but she's untested and untried and a novice. So she's got a lot of proving to do before, at least from my perspective, I would take her seriously. But I understand why people would be, hooray, she stands for something. You know, the governor's been too playing footsie with the Senate Republicans and this and that. Those are all legitimate concerns, but do we throw the baby out with the bathwater? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. You just raised a good point about Cuomo playing ball with the state Republicans now.
For example, Andrea Stewart Cousins. No question,
right.
She should be in on the negotiations on the budget. Why is she being left
right.
out? She's being left out on issues that affect women particularly. She's bright, she's
mm-hmm.
able, she's knowledgeable, she's a state senator. She leads the Democratic minority, or actually they should be the majority in the state Senate, and they've got Jeff Klein in the room. What business has Jeff
right.
Klein being in the room? Andrea Stewart Cousins
right.
should be there. The governor should invite her. End of subject.
One quick thing before we say goodbye this morning. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Cuomo has been out front and criticizing Trump.
Well, he was a little back front for a while. He wasn't really out front for a long time. But, yeah, now he's more
but
and more.
Right. At the same time, he's enabling the Republicans in the state Senate. Do you think that's disingenuous?
Well, I'm not going to say disingenuous. I think politics in New York State is tactical. I mean, a lot of it is tactical. There are things called quid pro quo transactions. The budget is a transactional process. And so he knows that if he wants to get X, he may have to do Y. For example, same-sex marriage in New York. That didn't come about because Andrew Cuomo was Pollyanna. That came about because he was tough, and it came about because he wooed some of the Senate Republicans, one or two of whom I think lost their seats afterward, to come along with
mm-hmm.
him. So you got to be willing to really bare knuckle your way through on some issues. And to his credit, he has been able to do that. But he hasn't always made the right choices. You know, so what do you double down on? What do you, I always say Kenny Rogers is a great philosopher, political philosopher. You got to know when to hold him, when to fold him, when to walk away, and when to run. Choose your battles wisely.
Right.
And again, there is transactionality in politics. Mm-hmm. That's something that I don't think Cynthia Nixon has the faintest clue about, having never really been part of the process.
So, you know, what's your final thought before we say goodbye?
Hope springs eternal. This too shall
okay.
pass. Keep the faith. New York is a strong, resilient state with a wide, diverse, and intelligent and talented population. We are in need of leadership, and we are in need of reform from top to bottom.
Mm-hmm. Okay, one last question. You've been aware of politics for a long time. Do you think that politics is devolving rather than evolving at this point?
You know, I go back to one of the my favorite political science professors, Dr. Paul Goodwin. His definition of politics, he said, politics is the strife of interests masquerading as a contest of principle, the study of who gets what, why, when, where, and how. You know, ultimately,
mm-hmm.
I think he was pretty much on the money. I think that was a paraphrase of Ambrose Bierce's Devil's Dictionary definition of politics. I believe politics can be engaged in to advance the larger community interest, the public good, if you will. That's why I got involved as a young man in politics, and I still believe that, despite all of the difficulties that we now face. But when it's a cult of personality, when dark money is allowed to rule the day, we have much work to do. We need to clean it up. We need to encourage young people particularly. I'm very encouraged by this youth march to bring sense to our gun policy. They may be naive, but they have passion and they have determination. And I think that's what's been lacking. We need more of that, not less of it.
So, John, as the political season unfolds, I hope to have you on again for your astute commentary about what's going on in New York State.
Well, I don't know if it's astute, no. Cynthia, but I have been around for a while, and I do have some opinions. And I thank you for listening, and I thank you for asking.
Thank you. So you have been listening to former New York State Democratic Chairman John Sullivan. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany. Thanks, John. I hope we talk soon. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great
thank
day.
Thank you, Cynthia.
And
stay well.
Happy holiday. Bye.
Happy Easter. Thank you. Bye. Hanukkah, too. Not Hanukkah. Passover.